But today we're going to talk about something a little different. And today it's something that we all need to hear from time to time in our lives. You know, surviving a storm. Anybody in here ever have a storm in your life? Yeah, that's okay. See, Amy, their arms are broken. They just don't lift their arms up. But God love them. You know, think about this. Worry, anxiety, fear, it can all of it can overwhelm us like a thick shadow, a darkness that overcomes our entire life, controlling our every move, our every decision. And yet reality tells us that so much that we, some of all these things that we spend so much of our time on worrying about never, ever happen. But yet we do worry. It's human nature, right? You know, living under the weight of what ifs, it's a hard place to dwell, isn't it? We all live there. What if this happens? What if that happens? Think of that. It is a hard place to be. And I want to take you in your minds to a place where some sailors were out on a big ship. They're out there. They've fought a storm for 2 days. The storm has battered them and banged on them. And they're afraid for their life all this time. They dropped anchor only to find that at the last moments of this great and horrible storm that's happening, that the anchor breaks. They have no way of locking their boat down, and they are stuck, floating helplessly. The wind's blowing this way and that way. The storm kind of dies down, but then a big fog rolls in, and the fog is so bad. You ever been to a fog where you can't see the front of your car? That kind of fog. They can't see beyond the end of the boat, but where they are at, they realize they are really close to the rocks. It's a shallow place, and they're not sure where they're at. This is before we had wonderful GPS. It's before we had all these things. They are not sure, and they cannot see, and they are in fear for their life. What if we hit the rocks? What if our ship sinks? We will all die. As they gather their selves together, and they peer into the thick cloud of the fog, they can't see anything. Yet they know that something's there. Have you ever had that where your mind plays tricks on you in the fog? You keep seeing images, but they're not there. And finally, they see a flash of light, and they wonder, what was that? And they hear this far-off horn. And they think, what is that? Pretty soon, another flash of light. And they begin to step back and have a little confidence. Is that what we think it is? Then another flash of light. Oh, it's old Mike in the lighthouse. It is lit. And again, they see it cut through the mist of the fog again and again, and they hear the horn, and they realize, we're okay, we're right here. And they're guided back home safely by the light of the lighthouse. They needed that. So many times they had floated right by that and not even hardly paid any attention to that old white lighthouse. But this time, they needed that lighthouse. It saved their lives that night. Turn with me to John chapter 11. I want to go through some things, because that night they spent their time in the silence, in the fog, in fear. Now we know God's overall plan, right? We get to look back through the Bible. We know God's overall plan. But we sometimes need reassurance, you know, especially in those times of need, of what that plan truly is. What we get is silence. And that silence overwhelms us. You know, sometimes God is just strangely silent. Silence can be horribly, horribly a long period of time. Sir Jay, can you set me up? That silence we find in John chapter 11. And I bring that to you because in John chapter 11, we see now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister, Martha. You see, it was Lazarus that was a good friend of Jesus, right? When he came into town, that's where he stayed, was with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and he lived in their home, and he celebrated things with them, and he talked with them, and he urged them, and, well, you know, he preached to them. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oils and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus had heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the same place where he was. Does that make sense to you? When you get the phone call to go to the hospital, when you get the phone call to do anything, do you just kind of sit around and wait? Jesus waited 2 more days in that place where he was at. Notice that there's no request for Jesus to come. There's no request. Because they knew he would come. They knew Christ would come. Now, Lazarus was in Bethany. Bethany's about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Maybe about 6 kilometers, somewhere around in there. In other words, it's not very far. You can walk it pretty quick. Lazarus had been sick for a while. They sent word out and they began to wonder, where is Jesus? Why isn't he here? I want to take you into this house a little bit because, yes, we know from looking back that, oh, yeah, Lazarus is going to be resurrected. But Mary and Martha didn't know that. Lazarus didn't know that. Think of that. You think they were praying? Do you think they were on their knees pleading? Come, save him. Night falls, still no Jesus. Silence. Morning passes, so does Lazarus. Still no Jesus. No Jesus. We look at this and we think, wow, why wouldn't Christ be there? Why wouldn't he go? And of course, by this time, the disciples are beginning to look at him and say, you know, why are we going? In verse 11, it says these things. He said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. And however, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about Lazarus taking a rest in sleep. Now, we preach that all the time. But at this moment, they're looking at him like, wait a minute. Then Jesus says plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine in their mind, they're thinking, you let your friend die? Why did you let him die? It's just right over there. Why didn't we go? There was a lot going on even right there with the disciples. And in verse 15, he says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now you think about that for a minute. I am glad. Really? I'm glad? Think of that. You know, what are the disciples beginning to wonder at this point? Then we see Jesus finally, let's go there. Let's take that little walk. They take that walk over to Lazarus' home. And we see in John chapter 11, verse 21, Martha therefore said unto Jesus when he arrives, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 32, he says, Mary therefore, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell down on his, at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you'd only been here. You know, they'd have been okay if Christ would have said, you know what, I got to let Lazarus die. And as soon as he does, I'm going to come and resurrect him. I want you to keep this in mind because we worry about the struggles. We get on our knees and we pray, whether it's finances, whether it's for a loved one or whatever. But we get down on our knees and we pray. And when we stop, there's this dead silence in the room and we wonder, Lord, where are you? They prayed. Jesus stayed two more days where he was at. Then he stayed another 4 days. Remember, it's the fourth day that Lazarus has been in the tomb. And then he shows up. And then he glorifies God in one of the most miraculous events that we see in the entire Bible. But it was silence until that moment. They understood he'll raise up in the resurrection of the last days, but you let him die. Christ says, I am the resurrection, and says, Lazarus, come forth, and boom. Think of that. Turn with me to Matthew 26. You know, they didn't question his love. Just why? They had doubt of his plan. In fact, they didn't even know his plan. If he'd have just told them his plan, right? You know, there's another instance as we look. Another instance of silence. That deafening silence that we hear. And in Matthew 26, we begin to see that. In verse 36, it says, well, it was that fateful night in Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here a while. I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Do you think Jesus knew God's plan? Do you really think he knew the plan? Right? This cup is the cup. It's the same cup we see in Revelations. It's full of abominations. It's one of those cups that's going to separate him from his Father. And the weight of it is destroying him. He prays this prayer and nothing. We know there's no answer. You know how we know that? Because he comes back and he wakes up his disciples that fell asleep. And then once he's done that, he goes back and he prays. What's the prayer that he prays? It's the same prayer. And he prays it earnestly. He prays it, Lord, take the burden from me if it's possible. But not my will, but your will. And then he gets up and he goes back and he talks to the disciples after he wakes them up again. And then he goes back the third time and he prays a prayer. What's the prayer? Same one he prayed the first time. He's not getting an answer. It is silent. Jesus went to the cross in agony, in the agony of silence. He went and he endured, and he endured that for you and me. He endured in silence because we hear him, Father, and cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? You know, this is the same Christ as we look in Mark. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, it says, then he rose and he rebuked the winds and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said unto them, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's hard to have faith in silence, isn't it? Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Last week, those that studied their lesson study, there were three young men that stood righteous, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood up for righteousness' sake, and we see the king give them a second chance. And as he does, you know, well, what can I say? He gives them a second chance to try it again, see if they get it right. It says, now if you are ready, at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all the other kinds of music, and you fall down and you worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? We skip down to verse 16, and it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we have served is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Think of that. But if not. If not, we know that we're not going to bow to this. We know that the furnace is going to be stoked seven times hotter. We know that the king is angry and he's going to toss them in there. Bound, hands and feet. That's where they're going to end up. And we know the story. We know the story well because they didn't bow down. They stood there. Can you imagine standing there if all of Nixa bowed and you're still standing there thinking, yeah, I'm barbecue today. This is it. Are you ready to make that decision in your life? Because if you really look and you read Daniel in the book of Daniel, those three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did that in silence. But in other words, our God will deliver us if it's his will. They understood that. They were willing to die. That's faith. We know that they did not bow down. We know the furnace was stoked seven times hotter. They stood by faith. And in their true time of need of Christ, Christ was right there with them. And you notice he doesn't show up till the last minute. It is by faith they're bound. It's by faith that they're led to the fiery furnace and they are tossed in. And in verse 25, Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, it says, look, he answered, I see four men loose. Nebuchadnezzar sees these four men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they are not hurt. And the fourth is the form of like who? It's the Son of Man. He's questioning, did we not just cast three guys in there? Where did this fourth guy come from? When Christ says he is there with you, he is with you. Amen. It may be in silence, but he is with you. We need to remember that. We need to always remember that. In John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have things that draw us back to Christ. We have things that strengthen us, that lead us. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. It says, meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. He even tells his disciples in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ gives us peace. The enemy lures us into panic and worry. Panic and worry starts if, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? If we focus on all the wrong in this world, we are doomed, you know it? But God offers confident peace. A confident peace that cannot be found in this life without Him in your life. You know, I learned some very important lessons in the military. I know we got military guys in here. Some of us served well because we wanted to serve, and some of us served because we had to serve. Depends on what part of the world you were in. But I learned something in the military. Be prepared. Life's going to be miserable if you're not prepared, trust me. Be prepared. And we trained for everything. We trained for training for everything. We trained for first aid. We trained how to move under fire. We trained how to keep our feet dry. We how to survive when we're miserable. Survive in cold weather. Survive in the desert. That's what we trained for, all those things that we'd train. And I can tell you, by being survival training, jungle training, you're going to survive in the jungle. You go train. And guess where you go? To the jungle. You train for desert warfare, and you how to survive in the desert. Guess where you go? To the desert. It's a real eerie feeling, by the way, when you get dropped off in the middle of the desert by a helicopter with a canteen of water and a Snickers candy bar, and you watch the helicopter fly away. That's all you got. We'll be back to pick you up in 4 days. You know, I had a command sergeant major, which is the highest rank in the Army for a non-commissioned officer. He told our commander that you don't have to practice being miserable. It will come naturally. I always thought that was a good thing. You go out and you get wet, are you miserable? Yeah. You go out in the heat and you're not prepared for it, and you get too hot, you're miserable, right? You go down the road in a rainstorm and you have a flat tire, are you miserable? Yeah. He was wrong. And here's why, not how you think. If you cannot prepare in misery, how do you know that your training will save you? If you go out and you know it's going to rain, if you're prepared for rain and you have an umbrella, are you going to get wet? Are you going to be miserable? If you have a flat tire, whether it's in the rain or the heat or wherever, if you have a jacket and a spare tire and all the goodies to go with it, and you can change your own tire, are you going to be as miserable as you could be? You're prepared, right? They trained us for desert How do you survive in a desert? We've spent weeks and weeks and weeks going through all this desert training. And then they flew us out in the middle of the desert, hand you a quart canteen of water and a Snickers candy bar and say, see you in 4 days. And we're thinking, we're glad we're prepared. That's what you're looking at. You think you can survive 4 days in a desert with a canteen of water and a Snickers? You know, there's a sick joke because when we went to jungle training, they did the same thing. Here's a canteen of water and here's a Snickers bar. The joke is this, just in case you want to know today. If you eat chocolate, you get thirsty, you drink your canteen of water. That's the joke. Then you got no water and you got no candy bar. Be prepared. Question today is, are you prepared in your Christian walk? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were prepared. They had studied the Word of God. They had read. They had studied even with Jeremiah, and they listened to Daniel. They were prepared. Even Christ was prepared when he walked into that garden. He struggled, but he was prepared. Even Mary and Martha were prepared. They knew that Christ would one day come again and Lazarus would be resurrected. They just didn't know it was going to be that day. How are you going to react when you're miserable? We have to prepare ourselves for those times. We have to put His word into our heart. We have to be able to trust Him to lead us through. Even though we know the end plan, we all know the end plan. The end plan is for Him to come again and to take us with Him. Until then, we need to be prepared. Psalms 56:3 says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust You. Do you trust Him? I want to read to you from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 26. It says, then He said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither a storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? And of course, our verse today was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and in good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? Amen. How many times do we get on our hands and knees and fall prostrate in the floor and pray earnestly, Lord, save me. I got a mess that I've gotten myself into. Get me out of this mess. And when we're done, we stand up and we're like, He's not telling me anything. He's not guiding me today. He's not moving me in the direction that I need to go. How many times do we suffer through misery and silence? But there shouldn't be silence. Because we need to trust in God. Even when it's hard, we have to trust in God. You think it was hard for Mary and Martha when Lazarus was dying to have faith in God? But they did. We know He'll be raised in the last resurrection. They were prepared not to see Lazarus until the last days. Question simple. Do you trust Him? Even when there's silence, do you trust Him? If we do not rely on Him right now, today, how will we be able to rely on Him when we are miserable? If we do not prepare ourselves for the things in this life that are thrown at us from left and right with the Word of God, if we cannot stand upon the Word of God to see us through this miserable world, how can we yearn for the rest? It's really simple. We're not much different than those sailors, are we? We're going through this life, and sooner or later, we're going to run into a storm. We're going to have to rely on somebody else other than ourselves, and that somebody else is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We all have one common denominator. We will all at some point in time fall prostrate at the foot of the cross and plead, Lord, save me. That's the question today. How are you going to survive the storms in your life? If you don't know Jesus, today is the day. Amen.
Amen.
I know Christ talks to people in their hearts. Today is the day. We can't wait for misery and then plead with Him. If you're struggling to know God, come and we'll talk. If you struggle in private, pick up the Word of God and read it, because He will show you how to survive. But if you're going to survive the great storms in your life, you need to put God in your heart. And today, God calls you to be strengthened by His love. That's His desire for you today. And I pray that each of you will find peace in the storm. Please stand today. Our closing song is hymn number 99. Will God take care of you?